How is it going, guys? And welcome back to another PLO Poker Player podcast episode. I'm thrilled that you guys are joining me. Today, I am going to talk to Damien, who is better known by the community as Bet and Grow Rich, especially known for his amazing, well-structured, and funny-to-read progress logs in our forum. I'm going to talk more about him right at the inside. I just finished talking to Damien now for 40 minutes, and it's such an exciting and enlightening podcast, guys. I hope you guys are really diving deep into this. You're listening, taking notes, and just truly enjoy the conversation we have. We talk all about how he started off in a coaching for-profit program in No Limit Hold'em, how that pressured him to actually not be successful and then move over to Pot Limit Omaha, how he's following now his biggest dream, which is to become a professional poker player. He's 100,000 hands into this PLO journey, playing currently PLO 25. And there are so many mindset takeaways here on how to progressively move forward in the right speed, in the right direction, with the right energy management. I'm super thrilled, guys, that you are with me on this podcast. And if you want to be on the show, if you are part of the PLO Mastermind, you want to share your story, you also want to get some advice on my end and share that with our community, then definitely feel free to send me a message on Discord. Of course, tell me a little bit more about who you are and what you would like to talk about, what you're struggling with as well. And I'm going to get back to you as soon as possible. And now let's roll the podcast for today with Damien, aka Bet and Grow Rich. Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the PLO Poker Player podcast. In today's episode, I'm going to talk to Damien, who is better known by the community as Bet and Grow Rich. He is 22 years old and from Macedonia, and currently he's playing PLO 25. He is 100,000 hands deep into his journey, and he's actually coming from a No Limit Hold'em background, where he was in a CFP coaching for profits program, where he said he learned a lot of very important stuff about poker, studying poker, using poker tools, and also about himself. We're definitely going to talk about that today as well. He says his biggest goal is to become a professional poker player, which he defines as a person who has a bankroll of $30,000 to $40,000 and can comfortably grind or take shots at PLO 100 and 200. A professional poker player is a person who invests 6 to 7 active hours per day into poker, which will then translate into 8 to 9 hours total, depending on your time management skills. He has an amazing log, an amazing progress log in our forum. Definitely check him out at Bet and Grow Rich. I'm going to leave you guys a link here below. And without further ado, I'm happy to welcome Damien to today's podcast. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me, Jane, on this. It's an honor. It's a complete honor.
I'm super excited about this because I see that you have a very structured approach when it comes to the logs, and you are definitely putting a lot of thought also into this endeavorment. And I can see also how some structure is right and built there, probably coming from the CFP. Why don't we just start right there and you can tell me a little bit more about, first of all, how did you get into poker? And then at what point did you decide to join a coaching for profit program in the No Limit streets?
Yeah, so I got into poker right after high school. It was kind of a leap of faith, you might say. I jumped into the pool before knowing whether or not the pool had any water in it. It was basically a dream of mine. I knew that you'd have to invest a lot of effort and time and all this, but just the idea of the freedom that poker can give you, and also the idea of making money out of playing a game, was the most appealing part to me. So I did decide to take this leap of faith. And at first I was hiding from my parents, you know, a 19-year-old kid, playing poker, going to college at the same time. I was kind of scared to do it full time just because I was afraid of my parents running into the room and catching me gambling. So I had to hide in the beginning. And then after some time passed, I kind of noticed that I didn't have all that much interest in my college studies. And I was using up all my free time to play poker or learn something new about poker. I was talking to my friends about it. You know, it kind of became my obsession at that point. So I decided to start playing and announce it to my parents, basically, hey guys, you know, I don't like this law stuff. I don't like this college stuff. I want to grind on the internet. I kind of sat down with my older brother as well. He was a big support at the time. I explained it to them, what it means to be a poker player. I showed them some examples of successful players. At this time, I also started browsing progress logs on the 2+2 forums. And I was playing Seed and Ghost at this time as well. So I was browsing the progress logs of some cash game players. And these guys were really the point where I decided to try and transition into cash games, from Seed and Ghost into cash games, because I saw them making like 10,000 euros per month playing NL200 Zoom. And I said, come on, man, if these guys can do it, I can do it as well, you know, easy.
What I think is super interesting is to look at these really early stages of decision-making. I recall myself being 20 years old, 21, 22 years old, thinking whatever I would do and choose is sort of a final decision. And I think there's nothing further from the truth when it comes to the career path specifically that you're choosing and what can really block us and hinder us to make progress and make bigger decisions that will end up also leading to more happiness and fulfillment is to just sometimes feel like whatever we're going to do is going to be final. And I think specifically in today's landscape, when it comes to the connected world through the internet, and when it comes to the fact that you can just learn a lot of skills yourself and pick a career, nothing is further from the truth that you are picking a career choice today that is going to be final, basically, down the road. And potentially, you know, with our parents, like, they might still have that thought ingrained into their minds that their son is going to pick up a career and then go with that career for the next 40 years. And when they hear poker, for example, then obviously they cannot make that connection. They don't see any stability. And I don't even think there has to be much stability, because the stability is not necessarily the career you're choosing, but it is your progress as a human being that is much more important to them. So when it comes to then the reaction of your parents, like, how does that work out?
Yeah, so it's interesting that you bring up all the points that you just brought up, because it was kind of their reaction, what you just explained. They were afraid of me making a wrong choice, but at the same time, they're very cool, and they do trust me, so they allowed me space to pursue my dreams. They also saw that I took a serious approach to poker. I wasn't just playing around. I wasn't wasting time. I wasn't out on the streets or anything. I was sitting at home. I was grinding. I was showing progress. I was showing interest. So I think that was kind of the turning point for my parents, seeing that I'm actually serious about these things and recognizing the seriousness within me. But it wasn't like they allowed it completely. There were still some discussions about me going back to college, about me continuing with my education, just in order for me to eventually get a degree so that I can be more respected by society. And there was a point where I had to explain it to them, which is funny, you know, what a 19-year-old, 20-year-old kid at the time explaining to you how things work in today's society, and that the degree, the college degree is not that important nowadays. More and more people are successful without having the college education. As you already mentioned, you know, the benefits of the internet nowadays, you can pick up anything, learn anything within a year and become a very respected, for a lack of better word, worker in the field. Mm-hmm.
you can become an expert, you know, in a lot of fields in a pretty short time frame, right? And I think what a lot of parents are struggling with there, which is very natural, is they are looking to fulfill their responsibility, right? If you are failing at 19, 20, 22 years old, they might feel bad for themselves and that they didn't do a great job. And I had that as well with my parents, that they were pondering, you know, is he doing well? Is he not doing well? Which is hard to understand if you have no clue about poker. And even these days, my parents don't understand poker, which is completely fine for me. But it's more about what they see in you. You know, are you calm? Are you progressing? Are you happy? Are you also confident about your path? And it's very hard to convince someone else that you are on the right path if you're not completely confident yourself. And obviously that confidence will build up over the years with success and being able to support yourself. So these days, my parents, although they don't understand what poker and the poker lifestyle is all about, they understand that I'm on the right path because of the confidence that I'm projecting.
Another thing, you were talking about confidence and you were talking about your parents recognizing it within you, and also parents being afraid of you choosing the wrong path and kind of pushing you towards the direction that they expect from you. I never really allowed that. I always like circled this image in my mind, and I always had confidence in me that I would eventually achieve that. So I never really allowed space for my parents to pave the way for me. You know, I always did my own thing, which is, I think, very important for a young guy who wants to succeed eventually.
Absolutely. And it's also all about like not being afraid to make mistakes, because if you have a kid, if you have someone that you really care about, you don't want that person to suffer because you know, because of love, basically. But at the end of the day, you yourself, and we all understand that, I think, is that suffering is a really important part of the process. And suffering comes also with making mistakes or facing hurdles and overcoming these and becoming stronger and building more confidence through that. So it's very natural for people around you who care about you, specifically the parents, to not want to put yourself into pain or a painful situation and see you suffering. And therefore, it's also nonsense to let them make a decision about where you are going, because they're going to potentially choose the path that is the most secure or has least resistance or least amount of unexpected things that can happen. And that obviously isn't necessarily the best way to approach it. So we have to take that responsibility ourselves.
Exactly. And in order for us to take the responsibility ourselves, you have to have the mindfulness to be aware of the fact that your parents might be pushing you in this safe direction just because they're afraid that you're going to end up suffering otherwise. And it's kind of a lot of pressure to put on a kid who's 18 or 19 years old to be making those decisions by themselves, because I personally know a lot of people my age who even now at 22, 23 years old, they're still not mindful enough to be making those decisions by themselves. They're still dependent on their parents. They're kind of afraid to criticize themselves. They're afraid to push themselves into the unknown and to explore a little bit. So this is where I think it's not just the parents' fault. It's actually mostly the parents' fault. They should be the ones who have the knowledge about these things, that, you know, the child might be afraid and that they shouldn't be pushing them into the safe direction. They should be encouraging them to take risks and to try things and to fail and to fail again. And because that's the only way you can actually progress as a person and find out who you are and what you like and what you expect out of life.
Absolutely. I think the way anyone is approaching fear, fearful moments, unknown moments is a direct representation of what their parents think about these subjects, think about fear, and act in the face of fear as well. So that's the way we come up. If we are a fearful person, about making decisions or getting into the unknown, it's most likely because our parents are the same way in these sort of values. Now, of course, there's no reason or there's no productiveness behind judging your parents for that, but it's important to be mindful, as you say, and understand where that is coming from and how you can potentially overcome that. So at some point, you actually decided to go into the CFP program and follow potentially a certain structure, follow some coaches, some mentors. How was that experience for you?
Yeah, so I decided to make this decision because I wanted to go professional pretty much, and I thought that it was going to be the quickest way to get there. You know, you hire a bunch of people, professionals, they've already been through everything, they're already successful at the higher limits. Yeah, nothing really too surprising. It was just a lot of new things. There was a lot of structure, as you said, and there was a lot of accountability. So you had to update your daily results, you had to report to someone, you had to attend a lot of coaching sessions, which was exciting at the beginning. Having these daily coaching sessions, getting the chance to speak to better players, this was all very exciting. But in time, I realized that having daily coaching sessions is kind of counterproductive because it doesn't allow you time to, as you would say, make things instinctual. You save up hands for today. Your hands are explained today, you know, and then you don't get any free time to work on it yourself and to make it instinctual. So I would say that it was even a little bit too intense, and they do pressure you a lot to put in a lot of hours and just to commit yourself entirely, which for some people it works. For me, it showed that it doesn't work because I would always just end up pushing myself too hard for 2 or 3 days, and then I would end up burning out because I didn't have the stamina to grind for 8 hours or 9 hours and then to continue studying and then to do all these things. I would basically wear myself out, and then I would just drift off slightly. I would start playing less, and I would eventually, down the week, I would eventually end up taking 2 or 3 or 5 days off, you know, kind of like a bad side effect.
And that's very interesting, because I think a lot of people are pressuring themselves a ton into unrealistic expectations, which then will lead to suffering and also some people giving up. When it comes to the poker dream, when it comes to pursuing this as a professional career, I think what is very important and underrated is also just the patience that you need to give yourself to grow, to become better and stronger. It takes a long time. And if you look at the people today who are actually successful in poker, you know, they had that patience. Of course, you need to do the things right on one end or the other, but I don't think you can pressure yourself that much into a certain structure that will just enable you to save up 1, 2, 3 years of work. Because it's not only about the amount of hours you put in, it's also how you process these hours and the quality of these hours and the quality of your life aside from these hours that will make you be more patient and also be happier. And when anyone out there is listening and is struggling potentially with patience because they have high expectations and whatnot about where they're going to be in 1 month, in 5 months, in a year from now, I would think about it this way. The happier you are right now, the more likely it is you're going to continuously pursue what you're doing. So make sure that whatever structure you're putting yourself into, that you can actually be happy with it right now in the moment, and that you have enough time to calm down from the experience of playing poker, working on poker, that you have time to just basically shift your mindset to a different subject or just let go and recover, because otherwise you're going to end up burning out very quickly and you're going to feel like this is just another job where you have to put in 10 hours, 12 hours a day without enjoying it. And that's the least thing that you want to do, because most of us, I mean, all of us, we're joining poker because it's a passion of ours. And I think we want to protect that by not putting too much pressure or structure into our daily lives, especially if we don't enjoy it. So at some point, I decided to move out of the CFP, and I guess you decided to also move into PLO. Can you tell me a little bit more about your first steps in PLO?
Yeah, so I decided to quit the CFP and move into PLO. I've actually, PLO has actually been a part of my journey since the very beginning, I would say. I was actually introduced to it by you. I was a fan of the stream since day one. And I always had a passion for the game. But given the fact that I was a part of the Coaching for Profits program, playing No Limit Hold'em, I couldn't really move into PLO at any point. So as soon as I left the Coaching for Programs Profit, this is where the opportunity opened up, and I just decided to go for it. I needed a change. I was already making changes in my life in CFP program. At this point, I also moved out to live on my own at one point. I was making some lifestyle changes. I noticed some very positive changes within my mindset. The next step is PLO, right? So that's how I got into it. My strategy was to watch as many videos as possible about preflop starting hands, or as many resources as I can find. And I basically just ended up watching one of your YouTube videos about how to choose a starting hand in PLO. What are the best hands? Which hands are used in which manner? I took that one video of 20 minutes and I just started grinding PLO 25 Zoom. And the post-flop strategy was mostly from my No Limit Hold'em background.
I got it. So you already built up some understanding of general poker concepts, obviously through many hours of No Limit Hold'em coaching, and that allowed you to also understand connected dots a little bit easier on the PLO side. And then at what point did you start getting more into like a study routine when it comes to PLO, and what was the methodology behind it as well?
Yeah, so as I already mentioned, I started grinding. I saw that I was having success. I saw that the games were much easier compared to the No Limit Hold'em ones, because I also spent a lot of time grinding No Limit Hold'em 10 Zoom, 25 Zoom, No Limit Hold'em 16. And I started grinding from the PLO 10 games as well, eventually kind of quickly moved up into PLO 25. I played like 20,000, 30,000 hands maybe, and I decided to buy a subscription to the mastermind courses. And this is where I started kind of approaching the game in a more quote-unquote structured way. There wasn't really a structure. I still didn't have my progress log. I was kind of going freely into it, just putting a lot of hours solely based on the love that I and the passion that I felt for the game at the time. So just watching a lot of videos, playing the game a lot, mainly watching videos and playing the game. I still didn't have like access to the Excel preflop sheets. All this came a little bit later, and by later I mean in the following months.
For sure. Let me pick it up right there, because I think you mentioned something that's very important for a lot of people that are getting into PLO as well, or any new form of the game, which is diving into it, being obsessed, consuming the content, playing the game. And just that's what I mean with protecting the passion basically for it. Because if you're a very structured person and you just love it in terms of, I want to get my hands on the Excel sheet, I want to get my hands on the information and take the notes and then put them slowly into action, that is completely fine. I have no problem with that. But if you're not that kind of person, you have to find the best way for you to become obsessed and become more informed about any sort of topic. And for some of us, this is a little bit more of an unstructured process. Even for myself, like the way I approach becoming better is I just wake up and think to myself, I want to become better, you know, and I want to do what I want to do in terms of figuring out where to become better. If I want to do some heads up study today, I'm going to do that. If I want to do some six max, I'm going to do that as well. It depends on what I'm interested in right now. And it's a little bit more like free to go type of approach. It doesn't work for everyone. But if the goal of it is really to protect your passion for the game, instead of getting yourself into a 9-to-5 structure, which you're then not really going to enjoy that much. So you'll be getting in there, you know, you've been consuming content, becoming obsessed and just trying to become better at PLO. But at some point, I guess you're then moving into the progress logs. I can see here the first entry is August 21. You're starting to put down some goals and you're starting to follow a certain structure. How was that in the beginning stages to kind of like make that switch?
It wasn't really a switch, it was growth. So I just, you know, I decided that I've had some experience previously with progress logs and with structured studying, but my previous experience, as already mentioned, it was more on the pressure side, just putting pressure on myself to put in the hours, pressure by the CFP program as well. And I really didn't have any, I didn't feel any joy out of all that. So I kind of just decided, hey, let me try this time. I'm on my own. There's no pressure from these guys. Just let me take my time. Let me build up my progress log from zero and let's see how it goes. Let it be a place where I can structure my thoughts, structure my path, talk about the things that are bothering me, talk about the things that are inspiring me, and just kind of use it as a tool to uplift my entire poker experience.
Yep, and I think that's great. I mean, it's all about, you know, the analogy that I like to make is if you think about a tree. You know, when you plant a tree, the most important thing about it is that you give them space and that you nurture it every single day. And sometimes the tree grows a little bit to the left or to the right, is building the roots or is building the plants, but you're giving it that room and allowance to do that. But at the same time, you're taking care every single day to nurture it, give it some sun, give it some space. And I think that's really what is important. And when we talk about consistency, just coming back every day, and realizing today I want to learn something that I can actually implement at the tables. Today I want to actually play in a way that is focused in mindfulness while I'm at the tables. Like that should be the goal and at the forefront. So you're putting down the progress logs, you're putting down some hands in PL25. You said right now you're 100,000 hands in. What would you say is sort of the biggest takeaway that you have so far when it comes to the off-table approach of playing PLO and trying to basically make it into the professional realm?
Consistency is the biggest takeaway, I would say. Like it's so important to be consistent with your progress. And as you said, to wake up with excitement, to wake up with thoughts about making some progressive improvements every day. And sticking to that mindset of just progressive improving. I would say that that's the biggest takeaway.
Absolutely. I think the reason why people sometimes are not excited is because they think too much about who they not are, who or where they are not at, basically. And that sometimes seems so overwhelming or so far distant that you don't even get up, basically. You know, like if you think, oh, I'm not rich or I'm not playing the high stakes, and I'm not going to get there by the end of this day, it's hard to get yourself up. But if you're a little bit more grateful for the opportunity that is in front of you, and you realize, hey, wait a moment, I'm waking up, I'm energized, I got all the information and possibilities to my feet, they are right out there, I just need to grab them, like that is motivating, that is something that can really get you going, basically. Now, how would you describe today's, you know, routines that you have with, and what is your biggest challenge within that routine?
Yeah, well, just kind of to follow up on what you said, I would describe myself as a little bit of a polarized person. So I have these days where I wake up, I'm super motivated, pretty much always grateful about the opportunities and all this. And some of the days, it's just so easy to continue riding the wave of excitement that I woke up with. But some other days, I wake up and no matter how grateful I feel about my situation, the excitement is just not there. And no matter how hard I try to overcome the low frequencies of emotions, it's just so hard, and it kind of pushes me back, and I just give in, and I kind of enjoy not doing anything, which is in a way sad, you know. I would say that that's one of the struggles that I continue to have even today.
Yeah, so I think what you're mentioning there is there are swings, right? Emotional swings, I would say, for the most part, you can call them energy swings as well. But for the most part, I think these are kind of emotional swings. And sometimes we don't feel as excited. What really helped me is identification in terms of who you are right now. And sometimes you can actually really trick yourself into being more passionate. So what I think when it comes to intentionality, when I think about my mindset, the main thought that I have is like, I am excited. And if I don't feel excited, I think, well, if I would be excited, like what would the person who's super excited about poker do right now? How would he talk? How would he act? How would he behave, right? Like if I would be very passionate right now by poker, like what would I do actually? And it kind of like goes back to an old relationship advice, which is, you know, if you want to have a great relationship, do what you did on day one, right? Because when you get to meet someone the first time, like you're super excited, you're a little bit nervous, you are at the same time not sure exactly what to do, but you know you want to do something. And I would just think back about what was the first time where you realized I'm super passionate and pumped about poker. What did I do? And when you do those things, and you just even try to go through these emotions, you start becoming more excited automatically. It's just the body and the actions are connected to the mind. And sometimes the mind starts. Sometimes you wake up and the mind is right on point and you are already excited. And that's perfect because then the body can just follow. But sometimes it's the opposite way. So your mind isn't prepared. It isn't excited. It maybe wants to be distracted or just take off. And then you just have to force your body to go into the motion. And suddenly you're there with your mind as well. So I would definitely try to trick myself from just thinking, well, what am I doing right now that is lighting up that spark when it comes to the passion? And it can be a small task. And that's also one thing I want to touch on, which is going through the motions can really help you to just light up that spark. And that sometimes means that you're going to bring 30% to the table or 40% of the effort to the table. But the difference between 30 and 40% is so big to 0%. And that is because you're building up momentum to actually have that 100% day in one day or in 2 days. So going from 0 to 100 is quite difficult because you get into this spiral. So if you have a bad day, a terrible day, basically, in terms of productivity and excitement, it is very likely that the next day will be kind of similar because you're not picking up any momentum. So even if today isn't the greatest day in terms of productivity and excitement, you are preparing yourself and setting yourself up to be more excited and energized by tomorrow or by the next day. You might go today to the motions in a 20% mode, 30% mode, and then tomorrow you're at 50 or 60, and then in the next day, you might already be at 80, 90, and you're building up and picking up on that momentum. And I think it's important to recognize that and play the long-term game. And by the long-term game, I mean, just like think about the next 3, 4 days, 5 days, 2 weeks. Like, how are you gonna be able to build up momentum and have those really, really good days? When I think about time management, which is also something you mentioned in your progress log, I don't think that much about time management, but more about energy management. and recognize that although we have always the same hours every day, it doesn't mean we have the same amount of energy every day. And that's completely fine. We have to find a way to distribute the energy intelligently. And again, that goes back to the 20, 30, 40% rule, where you just like put in less effort because you have less energy. That's completely fine, but you're building up momentum for the upcoming days.
It's a very good point. And I think that this is why I describe myself as a polarized guy. I'm either 100% or a 0%. I think this is a byproduct of me not writing out the 20%, the 30%, the 40% days and just setting myself up for the next 5 days. Whenever I feel like I'm a 30%, I'm at 30% effort, I just decide it's smarter to back off because I feel as if the grind is not worth of my 30% effort. I feel bad that I'm not 100%, and it just goes into a downward spiral where eventually my mind makes me believe that it's just better to take a day off, you know, instead of half-assing it.
Absolutely. And I think that kind of attitude is very often projected, you know, through many people trying to set that high standard, crush every single day. And it's all about perspective and thinking about what does that actually mean? Crush it every day or be on a high performance. And I think it's overvalued, all things considered, because you just cannot be 100% every day. Setting yourself to that standard is going to make you suffer. It's going to make you set unrealistic expectations. And at the end of the day, it's going to make you fail. So what I again would recommend is energy management and respecting the 20, 30% days as much as you respect the 100% days, because you're setting yourself up for those. Now, maybe to end up today's episode, I want to ask you, where is this journey taking you right now? Like, what is up on the horizon for you? Where do you want to see yourself in a month from now, in a year from now? Where is this going?
It's going in the right direction. Like, I'm feeling good. I'm making a lot of personal progress. I'm pushing myself. Just the fact that I've been through so many highs and lows, I would even say at such an early age, being faced with so much success and defeat at the same time, again, very polarized dynamic in lifetime so far. I always managed to get the best of it, and I always managed to kind of end up on the optimistic side of things and just use it as fuel to push myself forward. And I would say that it's going better than ever. You know, I'm developing healthy habits. I'm becoming more and more aware of myself, my surroundings, my actions. And I can just feel my mindset growing rapidly.
And that's awesome. I think the reflection that you bring to the table is astonishing, especially considering your age. And I think it's the biggest skill you have that makes me feel really confident about where you are heading is just to understand yourself on a deep level. And I think that is the biggest power that you can continuously build up and already have. And it's really going to strengthen you and empower you to become better and come out on top at the end of the day. I would recommend you again. It's sometimes difficult when you're just getting started, you're trying to hop on the right track, and you're also young and energized, have all that testosterone as well. Patience. You want to have patience, and you want to have more consistent energy exposure on your end. Don't set your expectations for 100%. Make sure to move. Today you're going to move one step, that's fine. Tomorrow you might move three steps, but make sure to at least move one step every single day into the right direction without having those complete off days where nothing really happens. Because here's another thing, if you are intending and you recognize today, for example, that you only have 30% to give, that is fine, because once you are in the mindset of trying to get to these 30%, you might realize after doing the first task that you actually have 50% or 60% today. And the only reason you were able to recognize that is because you actually started it and you got the ball rolling and you picked up some momentum. So don't ever underestimate the first step, because it can lead to another step and another step, and you don't want to necessarily block yourself from that opportunity. So I'm super excited to continuously follow your log. I can absolutely recommend it to anyone out there. Check it out on the forums, Bet and Grow Rich, aka Damien. I really appreciate your time today. Definitely hit me up and hit him up, guys out there, to give him some support and also reach out in order to connect. Thank you very much for joining today. And all of you guys out there, keep crushing. Last words, up to you, Damien.
Yeah, just thank you so much for inviting me. That's pretty much all I want to say. Thanks for all the sincere, encouraging advice and for your wisdom. I'm grateful for it. Thank you.